not believe it's number 9. I actually had to verify that. And today's guest is Nicole. Welcome, Nicole.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm really excited, a little bit nervous, but this is going to be fun.
No, don't be. So we're just going to have a conversation. Of course, I have lots of questions for you. I have not spoken with you in a while. I mean, we kind of message back and forth sometimes.
Sure.
But it's been a while. Nicole and I have known each other for,
goodness,
has it been
years.
eight years, I think?
2013, I think.
Yeah. 8 years, and lots has happened since.
Yeah.
So I cannot wait for Nicole to share some of those great things with you and some, you know, learning experiences as well. So let's start off, Nicole. Why don't you tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm 36. Married, it'll be 6 years this October, and the mom of a gorgeous little boy named Arcadio, or Arcadio, depending on how ethnic you want to get with his family. It depends on what side of the family he's talking to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a general manager for Marriott Managed Hotels, so I've been in the hospitality industry since I was 19, and have finally left South Carolina and now live in Texas, although I did move a little bit in Texas as well. I think this is like my third or fourth place in Texas. So I'm a little bit of a gypsy here with my Hungarian background and move around quite a bit, but hopefully this is like where we're at for a good bit. I'm tired of moving.
Yeah. I didn't realize, did you move like throughout like different areas or regions of Texas?
Yes.
Well, I know you lived in San Antonio, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So when I left you in South Carolina, because you moved around a bit too, you and I
mm-hmm.
both.
So when
I left South Carolina, I was in San Antonio and then met my husband on Match.com actually. And after we got married, he got a job offer up in Dallas. So we moved up here and we decided to just get a little, crazy. And we bought a 10-acre farm and made ourselves
that.
A little. Yeah, we made an alpaca farm and had some space. And so I had a bit of a commute, but like we had alpacas and chickens and a giant garden. And it was just so nice to just try something different and mm-hmm. have bit of land. And then we got pregnant and I very quickly realized that the last thing I wanted to do was have a baby in a barn without like any medical intervention or drugs.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is not what I'm trying to prove. So take me back to the city. So
yeah.
We found a house in Plano and to be honest, it wasn't the right house, but I was 8 months pregnant and just done. Like I didn't care at that point. I just was done house hunting. So bought a house, had a baby, and then in the middle of the pandemic decided that we were going to move again. So we're still in Plano, but just on a different side of town. But this is definitely our forever neighborhood. So mm-hmm. we love it. It has great schools. And then we are lucky enough that we convinced my cousin and his wife, who are both also in hotels, to move into our neighborhood. And they also got pregnant at the same time. So our boys are 60 days apart and they are cousins.
Wow.
So yeah, April 1st and June 1st. So they are so close in age and we both live like, I don't know, 10 minutes from the elementary school. So we like we'll have the same school. We can walk to the park. And then we convinced my parents to move from the Chicago burbs down here. And then my brother and his wife moved down here with my other nephew. So they also just moved the first weekend of August into our neighborhood. So we can walk to their
house
as well. And then after all of us were here, my 87-year-old grandmother was like, well, why am I up here enduring Chicago winters? She was like, forget it. Everybody's there. So she just moved here, too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I've got a whole community.
Yeah, I love that. I actually wanted to ask because I've been seeing them, you know, kind of frequently in your pictures. And I'm like, are they, you know, I don't know if they're like retirement age yet. But so I'm thinking like, are they visiting or are they really, have they moved down?
They did. Yeah,
know?
They moved
That's
here.
Awesome.
And they are about 45 minutes away from us, but they found a really great retirement community. But I think that's like anything like 40 and above. But it's so funny because
40 and above.
I'm not even joking, but the great thing, like, they can't have kids there, so, like, you can't have school kids. So, I mean, they do have like an adult team thing, but they have really high HOAs, but I laugh because I literally have to plan babysitting like 3 months in advance because now that they're retired, they're so busy. My dad is on a golf team. He plays softball, traveling softball, pickleball, bocce ball. I'm like, when are you supposed to take my kids from me? Like, I brought you down to help. And he's like busier than I am with a full-time job and a kid. So,
yeah,
but it's really lovely having family here.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love that he's like taking full advantage of being retired. You know, sometimes I hear of people just kind of like sleeping all day, you know, or maybe to the extent of maybe gardening or something, but
yeah,
you know,
well, that's my really mom is cool. Not what we would consider an athlete, but she is there and she plays bocce ball and she's in a bunco club and she's doing a stained glass class where she's like making window panes and stuff. And so she's got like her own whole set of stuff that she's doing out there. So they just absolutely love it. We're all like Texas forever. Forget the Chicago Burbs.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of how I would imagine my retirement, honestly.
Oh yeah, like, I can't sit
you know. Yeah, yeah. I would love doing something like that. Maybe I'll be interviewing you again, Nicole, in like 25 years.
Oh, goodness.
Hopefully,
at that point we can do it like in person on a cruise ship, right?
I know. Or in like a studio or something, you know. Maybe, you know, somebody will be like, hey, I like your concept, you know.
There you
so
go.
So when you throw out like match.com, hello. Do you want
there you go, like be a sponsored
episode? Because honestly, okay, so after you told me about Match.com, I actually considered Match.com myself.
It's great.
And guess who came up as my top, like, option? Jamel. So it was crazy because at some point he had joined too. And we had known each other for like going on like 12 or 13 years now. But I had like left Virginia and I moved to South Carolina and then Atlanta. And I had joined, like, I always thought about you and how you were like a very, you know, avid believer of like Match.com and everything. So one day I just signed up for it and I did like the whole survey and everything else. And when I put in my search, you know, it was like, what? He came up as my top.
Well, I mean,
match?
You knew him, but that's like what prompted you to reconnect?
No, I had, you know, shared with him at the time. I'm like, you just came up with as like my top match on Match.com. I didn't even know that he was like single at the time. So
I love that for you.
Yeah, that was just so weird. But, you know, actually that kind of stayed with him. So down the line, that wasn't even the time that we actually like really connected. It was
just,
you know,
like, planted
a few
a
years
seed.
Later. But it planted a little seed. Yeah, definitely.
That's
so he always talks about that. Yeah, how we were like 400 miles apart and, you know, initially made a connection in Virginia and then years later, you know, he comes up. And then I was like, are phones listening really? Or are they like, do they know that he has Match and I have Match and we're connected on Facebook and that's why they matched?
Oh. I didn't think of that option. I just liked the fate option better.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm like an overthinker. So I'm like,
is this really interesting? Even if it's an algorithm, the algorithm works then.
Thanks. Yes. Thanks, Match.com.
Yeah. Sponsor here, right?
Like, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so, very common now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've been sharing that story too with others and I'm like, hey, I think you should join Match.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So thank you for that again. I do want to touch really quickly on the drink. The choice drink is black tea for Nicole.
Yes.
I matched her a little bit. I am drinking tea, but not black tea. So I wrote down a little synopsis about black tea. It was discovered in China in the mid-17th century. For many years, only green and oolong teas was consumed. The story of how black tea came to be is that an army from, oh my God, I don't want to mess this up. Is it Jiangxi? I don't know. J-I-A-N-X-I. I don't know how to pronounce it, but you know, and they entered the Fujian province and camped at a nearby tea factory. It first became known to Western civilizations through Portuguese priests and merchants in China during the early 16th century. Drinking tea became popular in Britain during the 17th century, which that's interesting too. The British introduced tea production as well as tea consumption to India in order to compete with the Chinese monopoly on tea. So that's a little bit of history. Yeah, I know. So the tea that I'm drinking, I am so stuck on this tea. It's from Teavana, and okay. It's called Bellissima, and it's like this tropical tea. It has like pineapple in it. It's like passion fruit almost. Mm-hmm. I can't even describe. I love. It's like a very refreshing fruity. It's a very fruity,
good summer drink.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you drink it hot or cold?
Hot. I like my tea hot.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. I do a little bit of both, but it kind of depends. Usually if it's plain tea, well, no, I don't know. I guess I do it both. I think it depends on the season. Yeah. Or time of day, like cold during the morning and the mid-afternoon, and then like the later it gets, the warmer I think my drink gets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of like how, you know, I'm an avid coffee drinker. Same. So I can pretty much drink tea all day long, I mean coffee all day long, and it doesn't matter if it's cold or hot.
Yeah, I'm the same like way.
In the morning it has to be hot. And then throughout the day, it doesn't even matter anymore.
So you will, yeah, that's funny. That's true. Just throw some ice in it. It'll be fine. So we recently hosted a grandparents' day brunch at our house. And one of the pieces that we had here to kind of honor my grandmother that just moved here, like I said, also came. And mm-hmm. when my grandfather and her were younger, the day my father was born, my grandfather gifted my grandmother this beautiful silver tea percolator, like an old school one that you like plug in the wall. I actually have it sitting still over here because my parents haven't picked it up. But so she got that as a I guess an olden version of like a push present, right?
Yeah.
So he got her this percolator for her when my dad was born. And then eventually she gave it to my father. And so since we were planning this brunch, I was like, oh, what a great conversational piece. Like it's better than just popping something into the Keurig, but like we get mm-hmm. quality coffee. And then it's a nice conversation piece that like my grandfather gave it to her. And it's like this family heirloom. And so we and it was just lovely. And everybody is like, you know, talking about it. And she got to tell the story of, you know, having my dad. And so it made everything really special.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. Especially that, you know, it's still working after all these. I mean, I'm not trying to say that your dad is really old, but or old. Yeah. But the fact that, you know, I don't know how long ago that was.
55. So 60. Okay. How old am I? 36. So 66 years old.
Yeah,
it works, and it's in like this beautiful silver pot that we have. I put pictures on my Instagram so you can.
Okay, I have to check it out.
Yeah, it was really great to have that. And it like it sits in this beautiful base. And then when you go to pour it, you just like tip it and tilt it and it like stays in this little rocker. It's really cool.
That's cool. You know, one of my goals is to actually collect like antique things too for my cafe. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've always like talked about wanting to have like a little cafe where I serve coffee to people and talk to them all day. You know, that's why I really enjoyed like the Courtyard brand because I could, I just volunteered every day. I worked in the bistro and I loved doing Starbucks. Like, just,
that's what I do every you know? Morning. I still do. I'm over there I'm with like, my cold brew.
You don't even have to force me. You know how like sometimes mm-hmm. they'll say like, GMs, we need you to be more involved.
Yeah, we need your help today.
Yeah. But for me, it was like, yes, you don't have to say anything. I'm already doing it. I love it. So anyways, so that too, like I just really enjoy talking to people and talking about coffee or different flavors and everything else. And so I've always imagined having like a little cafe, and I love to bake cakes. And so, you know, kind of like pairing up different coffees. And so that's really how the podcast also came about. You know, I wanted it to be about trying like coffee, tea, whatever the guest wants to drink, and then just, you know, talk about it too.
So that's a good way to get yourself exposure to like what somebody else's go-to thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So mine was a little driven.
I created this logo myself.
I love it with the coffee beans. Yeah. Mine's a little driven by like health and fasting. So that's why I went with black tea, but we'll have to take some ideas of good beverages to have. And I'm not going to lie, when I'm not fasting, the pumpkin cold brew at Starbucks is like my favorite thing right now. I can't stop. It's very basic, but it's so
I've never had it.
It's so good. And they have a new apple crisp macchiato that we have ordered
stuff,
but it hasn't come in yet, so I'm dying to try that one too.
Interesting.
Ready for
a
good fall.
So that's new. That's a new flavor. I don't recall them having that ever, right?
Yes. No, but you can go get it at the regular Starbucks. They're already out.
Yeah. Apple crisp. Interesting. And I haven't heard of the pumpkin cold brew either, but let's start off with my favorite subject, motherhood. I know that unfortunately for you, motherhood did not come easy. Tell our listeners and viewers a bit about your challenges early on and what you and your partner did to overcome them.
Yes. Fertility has not been easy for us. It was not something that I knew about in advance. I did not necessarily think that I was like the wife and mother type. Like that was, Party Nicole lived like real strong to 28, right? Like I was out there living my best life. And that kind of never was like a goal of mine. Like I was Miss Independent, can't tie me down. And then I met Alex and every idea and notion that I had just like went straight out the window. Like all of a sudden I was like, oh, this is like a thing that I need now, right? And so that was a little bit of a shock to me. And he was so adamant that he wanted kids that I think his confidence is what made me so sure. I think like in general for everything in our relationship, like he's very calm. And when he makes a decision, like that's it. And so like he had told me after the fact that he had shared with my sister-in-laws, like he knew from the first date, like this is it, she's going to be my wife. And they were like, oh my God, if you tell her that, she will move 5 to 7 states away by the weekend. Like you can't tell her this. Like you have to keep this a secret. She will flee like the whole West Coast. You're fine, right? So, and they're not wrong. And so, but he knew right away and was like, we're going to get married and we're going to have kids. And I was like, okay, like you are just so sure that this is going to work out. And like, I think some of that's spawned because his dad passed when he was really young. His dad was free. And so I think that like not having that relationship growing up, like really made him want to be a dad. So I think for, you know, myself, I wanted that so much for him and didn't realize how much that I would want it until it didn't come easy. So, you know, just like every teenage, you know, girl, I was on the pill. And so before the wedding, I got off and didn't realize that I was having some issues with my cycle and my anatomy. And so we immediately, like, we waited until the wedding, and then as soon as we got back from the honeymoon, we, like, made an appointment with a doctor to, like, understand what was going on, and so we tried some fertility stuff, like, you know, just, you know, tracking cycles and, you know, kind of doing some stuff at home and just reporting back to the doctor, and very early on, they basically diagnosed me with PCOS, so polycystic ovarian syndrome, which meant that I would most likely need some medical intervention, but also gave me some insights to my personality and my health. Like, so when they ran my hormone panel, they were like, oh, you kind of have really low estrogen and you have really high testosterone. And I'm like, oh, this makes sense for who I am. Like, I'm very direct. I'm very aggressive. I'm not a girly girl. And so like all of this like started to click for me, like weight issues and just all the kind of symptoms that go along with that. And I was like, oh, okay, this makes sense. So we immediately just started working with doctors and did not have great success in San Antonio, nor when we first got up here to Dallas. And we kind of got very lucky. And the doctor that I was seeing up here in Dallas, after like many failed attempts, I mean, thank Marriott to high heavens for covering fertility on our insurance. Otherwise, this would have never even been a possibility for us. Mm-hmm. But they did. And so after many, you know, failed cycles, miscarriages, things like that, my doctor that I had was actually leaving to start up his own practice and mm-hmm. was honest with us to say that if we followed him to his new separate practice, that because of how long it takes the insurance, like we would have to pause for a couple of months. And he was like, I understand if you don't want to take that time out, like you're over 35. If you don't want to do that, then you can just stay here, but you'll transfer to this other doctor. And so I was just like, I don't have the time. So mm-hmm. we stayed and ended up with an Eastern medicine, you know, practicing doctor who got me into intermittent fasting. And I mean, he redid my blood panel and a lot of the testing, which was frustrating at first, but came away with some really great insights for us that weren't previously explained. And that gave us a better plan. And the first round of IVF that we did with him, we were lucky enough to have twins, but we lost one around week 11. So thankfully right before we announced, because we were like ready to. Mm-hmm. And we originally were pregnant with a boy and a girl. And after that many times of loss, like I just emotionally was not ready to grieve that yet. So we mm-hmm. made the decision not to find out the gender of our baby, because once I found out what we were having, then I would know what we lost. And I didn't want to do that. So I figured on the day I'm going to be so elated that my baby is here, whatever the gender is. And also I was really banking on those drugs, right? Like give me the epidural. At this point, I'm going to be so happy and loopy that I'm not going to like breathe too much. Like it'll be a better fit for me. So, yeah, we waited until he was there. Although I swore it was a girl. We both swore it was a girl. We were calling it by a girl's name. Like we were so sure. And when the doctor was like, nope, it's a boy. We were both like, are you sure? And he was like, yeah, like, here you go. So yeah. So now we have my beautiful son. And unfortunately, I just think that's it for us in the cards. We've had a couple failed attempts after that. And it got to the point where it hurt more to try and lose than to stop. So we stopped recently. And we're going to say that with an okay face now. Maybe.
I'm sorry to hear that, but I'm so glad that you have him and that he's healthy and he's so beautiful. And he keeps you on your toes.
Yes. In fact, I was trying to get him to change into his jammies before he went upstairs with dad so I could do this. And he was like, no, mommy, get out of here. And I was like, all right, fine. Like, let dad do it.
He knew you had something important to do.
Yeah. He was like, no, mommy, get out of here. Which is, thanks, Paw Patrol taught him that one. So, full attitude.
So I don't want, you know, I can see how this is affecting you still. So I'm not going to, you know, stay too long on that subject. But I just want to ask if you have any suggestions or tips for, you know, any listeners or viewers that are just that can kind of, you know, whose like a story basically resonates with yours. What kind of tips do you possibly have or, you know, and something that you wish you would have known?
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that there's a high probability that somebody out there does resonate with it. Infertility mm-hmm. kind of affects 1 in 8, and I feel like that number is climbing. So it's definitely out there. And I think if I could go back and give myself a piece of advice, I think the first thing I would have said is get a therapist and much sooner, not even before fertility, but just like it should be required as like senior high school college credit or high school credit should absolutely be like, sorry, one of your class periods is an automatic therapy session. I should have definitely started there sooner for like every reason, and every person I think should go there. So that is one. I think I would have joined the support groups earlier. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to always talk about with the people around you, and it's difficult to be true to your own feelings and still exist. Like it's definitely like Bader-Meinhof syndrome, where when the thing you want is to get pregnant, all you see is pregnancy around you that you've never noticed how many people are pregnant on like your Facebook timeline. And suddenly mm-hmm. you're like, snooze, like you can't handle it. And it's hard to articulate that you can be happy for somebody else and be just absolutely distraught for yourself at the same time. So therapist, support group. And then I think the other thing for me would be, I wish that somebody would have talked to me about intermittent fasting sooner from that community. And it's something that once I got into the support group and asked, they were like, oh, if that's something you're looking for, there's like a whole separate intermittent fasting PCOS fertility support group on its own, because there's just so many members that they were like inundating the other support groups that didn't necessarily follow that path. And so getting into that path, I mean, I started the fasting and within 4 months we were pregnant. And then anytime that I needed any additional help, like that has always been like a pretty quick answer for my health stuff. And it's a lifestyle that I just wish I would have had sooner, because I think it just works so well for me.
Can you just, I do want to, you know, ask actually, because I'm not very familiar with it myself. Mm-hmm. And so can you explain, so did you have fertility issues because of like nutritional, was it like based on your nutritions, or was it like a weight thing, or what was it?
So for PCOS, it typically ties into fertility because of a hormone imbalance. Uh-huh. But because of the hormone imbalance, it then causes, like, I was under the impression that my weight is what caused PCOS, and it's really the other way around. Your hormone imbalance is what's causing the PCOS, and then as a result, you have weight issues. And it's ironically, like, I thought, like, looking at me and growing up and like just what I know from general medicine, like, I look like the prototype that would be very high risk for diabetes. Mm-hmm. Not a single thing. It's all hormone imbalance. I had no risk, and because I was honest with my doctors about it, because it was a thing that's like in my family, but they ran my numbers multiple times throughout the years, and I've never had an issue. I didn't even have gestational diabetes, and both my husband's mother had with both of her kids, and my mom did as well, and yet I didn't. And I thought, yeah, like, well, that's crazy, because I definitely fit like a generic stereotype for it. But not a single thing. So it's all hormone imbalance, and the fasting helps correct the hormone imbalance, which then helps, you know, some of the other stuff too.
That's interesting. I did not know that fasting could help with hormone imbalance.
So it basically, the concept, and again, very loose, I am not the expert. I highly recommend reading Fast, Feast, Repeat by Jin Stevens. Jin, like the alcohol. And I can send you a link, but that's kind of what got me into it. And then there's been some other spinoff books on it too, but it's basically about depleting your glycogen levels. And once you do that, your body can then use fat as fuel instead of sugar and glycogen. And so with that, you also can get to autophagy, which is basically cell cleanup, which is what helps repair some things. So like I find that with fasting and in that community, there's a lot of things that they call non-scale victories, where mm-hmm. things like, for the last 5 years, every time I go to the optometrist, my vision has declined just slightly. And once I started doing fasting, I've had it improve 2 years in a row now, which like is mind-boggling to me. But other people in the intermittent fasting like support groups that talk about it, like they see those things too. And like, you know, losing shoe sizes or having to size my rings down because you're losing fat in those like smaller areas. I don't know. There's just a lot of people who've like noticed like skin tags or bruises or scarring that goes away, things like that. So it's not always, it's more of a health thing. They talk about it's really good for inflammation, Hashimoto's syndrome, they recommend it a lot. So it fixes a lot of like inflammation and internal things. And as a result, your body tends to shed weight because you're just in general getting healthier. So it's kind mm-hmm. of like a health lifestyle with the benefit of weight loss. It's not for weight loss. Like there's other things that it has to clean up too. But I don't really count anything other than a timer. I start and stop a timer. And other than that, my body's craving something, I eat it. If I want it, if I want Whataburger, I have Whataburger. But if I don't, then I don't. So it just kind of depends.
Yeah. So thank you for clearing that up, because that definitely helps me understand it better too. I mean, I've never done it, but I also didn't quite, I always thought it was like a weight loss thing. You know, I didn't know that it has so many.
I'm down 20, over 20, you know, just from doing it. And I'm not doing crazy workouts. Like, I keep active, but just, I mean, I have a 2-year-old, right? I stay active.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's been really good. And I find it very easy to comply. And a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, like today for Yom Kippur, I participated and I did a 25-hour fast, but I couldn't start that way. I started at 12 hours for a week. You know, I mean, you can figure that out, to like eat from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and quit. So started at 12 and then just naturally progressed further and further to the point where I can go 19 or 20 hours, honestly, without even thinking. Like, it doesn't even dawn on me that I'm hungry or that I want something. Before, I was doing it just out of habit.
Yeah.
And I sleep better. I feel better. I have energy. So all the way around, like, I just, things click better for me. I don't have like mental fog like I kind of used to. Mm-hmm. So I definitely recommend at least looking into it to see if it's something that works for you. But I am not the king subject.
Yeah.
Like, definitely have resources I would send your way.
Do you, but drinking is allowed, obviously, I think, because you're having some
fasting. So when I am fasting, I do not participate in what they call like a dirty fast. So it's black tea, black coffee, or water. That's it. No cream, mm-hmm. no sugar, no lemon, nothing that is going to trigger an insulin response. Like, I don't want anything clicking that on, because I want it to deplete the glycogen and then burn fat. So...
Okay, so I ordered your tea right then, because
yes,
there's
you
nothing.
Did.
I'm like, no sugar, and no, let me not put lemon in there. So that's good. Okay,
nope,
good.
Black tea. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just guessing, you know, because you did tell me you were, you know, on that intermittent diet.
Yeah.
So I just figured no ingredients.
Yeah. It would have been fine. After a 25-hour fast, I kind of kept my window open a little bit later anyway than what I normally do, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
Well, you know, I want to jump right into what you just mentioned about participating into the, say that again, because I
can't.
Yom Kippur. So one thing I do admire about you is that you truly take your time to embrace other cultures and prepare meals based on your traditions. I always watch, and, you know, although we, like I said, we don't communicate, you know, frequently, I definitely see everything that you post, and I'm like, dang, maybe I should bake some cookies. I'm like, sometimes, honestly, I felt bad, like, when I worked in the hotel industry, and I would see you, like, doing all these things for your associates, and I'm like, crap. She's making me feel bad. I'm going
I have other teams that are like, can I just pay you $20 and will you bake my team cookies?
Yeah. So tell me, what inspired you to begin researching other cultures and traditions?
So I think, being in the hospitality industry, I got exposure early, which was great. But I think the biggest part of it is that because I was in the hospitality industry and I moved away from home, and I just everywhere, like, I don't think I stayed longer than like 3 years in any one place. And so it forced me to have to make friends, because I didn't have family wherever I was. Like, I was always alone, mm-hmm. and just like, I don't know. It's hard, because you're like, okay, well, I'm the boss wherever I go. You're like, you can't date. Like, nobody wants to hang out with the boss, right? Like, it's awkward. So you have to like figure out how to make friends. And so during the holidays, like, I'm obsessed with all things holidays, but I used to host what I called Chris Mahana Kwanzaa, because I remember that.
Yeah.
I used to host them, and it would basically be like, if you are here in my city and in my circle and you don't have family, now we are. Like, this is what it is, and I don't care what it is that you want to celebrate. I want to celebrate with you. Like, I'm a huge extrovert. Like, all I want to do is have, like, a house full of people for me to, like, cook. I honestly just want to be Martha Stewart. I want to hang out with Snoop Dogg and bake and host, like, extravagant parties and maybe get high. I don't know.
I was about to ask.
Right? Like, that. I literally just really want to be Martha Stewart in every possible way. And
Stuart, if you happen to listen to this episode,
you need to holler at
Nicole in Texas.
I'm trying real hard to get in this circle, okay?
Yeah.
And so I just started hosting it, and it would be like, okay, we're going to do it this weekend. So we always did it Thanksgiving weekend. And it was just like, whatever you celebrate, let's celebrate. If there's a family recipe you want me to make for you because you miss it, like, let me do that. And I just want people in my home, like, for me to, like, dote on. I'm kind of like a inner 1950s housewife. Like, it's terrible for feminism, but I just want to host parties and, like, quiche or something. I don't know. From there, it just kind of spiraled. And then, you know, it was interesting. I mean, it's not that I'm blind to racism. I know that it's out there. But one thing that kind of surprised me was when we had our son and shared the name with him, even there was a couple of people that, like, we didn't know what we were having, but we were like, okay, if it's a boy, we're leaning towards this name. And if it's a girl, we're leaning towards, you know, this name. And I didn't share it with, like, a ton of people because they always find a way to ruin it, right? Like, like, oh, I hated a girl named Becky or whatever. I was really surprised at the amount of people in my closer circle that were like, are you sure you want to end your son's name in a vowel? Don't you think that'll have some negative connotations? And, like, that blew my mind that I was like, wait, what? Like, this is a thing that you even thought about? It'd be shame on me that I didn't think about it. But the fact that his name, like, and Arcadio, and they were like, it's just, it sounds a little ethnic. And I was gobsmacked by that. Like, I was just like, what? Like, and so at that point I was like, okay, like, we've got to make sure that we're being better examples. And there have been times where I've had to be a little bit more vocal with people and be like, look, that's not welcome in this house. And if that's the way you feel, then neither are you. And we've cut ties in certain areas, but, like, it was just interesting that was, like, a thing people wanted to, like, warn me about. And I was like, no, we're just going to make the world better. We're not going to, like, succumb mm-hmm. to this, like, especially because it's my husband's grandfather's name. Like, after his dad passed away, his uh-huh. grandfather raised him. So, you know, there was a special meaning to this. And so it just really made me conscious of it. And so when he was, like, very little, we had, you know, his Christmas onesies, but we had Hanukkah onesies and a Kwanzaa onesie and a Diwali onesie. Like, he had all of these things, you know, and maybe a little bit of me was petty because I wanted those people that said stuff like that to, like, you know, sometimes you just put your kid in a Hanukkah onesie and you know you're going to piss people off, you know? And I'm okay with that. Like, I like to push the button a little, you know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I make sure, like, we're celebrating Diwali and it's, like, real big on the calendar and people are like, but you're not Indian. And I'm like, great, what's your point, you know? So a little bit of that is what prompted it. And so then I think as the older I got, I just really got into cooking and hosting. And I just thought, what a better way to learn, you know, what I'm cooking and making than to celebrate holidays. Like, it's a fun thing, right? Like, let's mm-hmm. learn about it and have a reason and a time to do it. And I'm very good at being task and, like, schedule oriented. So if I'm like, okay, Diwali's on November 4th, we're going to make a plan and we're going to figure out something that we can learn about this culture and, like, setting myself up for that is something I really thrive on. I like to check things off a list.
Well, you're setting your son up for just an amazing journey and just acceptance, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to be normal to him, and you're making a, you know, a difference.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I try. I mean, it's yeah. something that's very important to me, and I think back to the memories that I have as a kid or even young adult that are impactful are, like, mm-hmm. it's time spent with people. It's not things. Like, I can't tell you
right.
a toy that somebody gave me between the ages of 5 and 10. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I remember experiences. I remember the trips and, like, the activities. And so that is something that I try to do. Like, okay, it's Rosh Hashanah, so we're going to have this big board, and, like, maybe we're going to do Rosh Hashanah coloring pages, and I just printed Diwali pages today because I'm already, like, prepping for November and, like, mm-hmm. learning about different arts and crafts and, like, making it an experience. But even, like, during COVID, just even for myself and for my husband, like, Arcadia was so little he didn't understand, but, like, I was just looking for any sort of memory to have, and so mm-hmm. we are going to laugh. Like, we were the most scheduled people during a pandemic that you have ever met in your life. Everybody else is bored, stuck at home. And I'm like, well, today is the 60th anniversary of when the Flintstones aired on TV. So we're going to pull up YouTube and watch Flintstones cartoons, and I'm going to make tomahawk ribeyes on the grill so we can eat this like giant bone and watch like Flintstones night. And he'd be like, are you kidding me? And I'm like, sit down and watch the Flintstones, you know? Maybe there was a day that we watched Half-Baked and we got Ben and Jerry's Half-Baked ice cream and stuff, and then we had a half-baked night, you know.
Yeah,
like, fun little themes. And I'd be like, well, today is the 150th anniversary of the annual honey parade in Boston, so we have honey cake and honey shrimp and chicken and like teas. And my husband's just like, all right, like serve it up, Martha Stewart, like whatever.
Nicole,
was like an activity calendar, and I would be like, well, don't make plans for Thursday because that's the Jello celebration or whatever, like I could come up with. Like, can we not just binge Netflix? Like, do you have to plan that? Yes, we do.
I remember like early on meeting you and you're like, okay, you're coming to my house with the kids on this day and yes, we're gonna have dinner. I'm like, okay.
Movie night, I've got like snack packs for the kids. I love that stuff. Like, I just wanna host. Yeah. I wanna be like a kindergarten classroom mom. Like, that's all I want to do.
You know, one of my fondest memories growing up was too that my, you know, we were immigrants in Germany from Bosnia, and my mom was like one of those people that really like embraced celebrating other people and learning about other cultures, because, you know, in the old Yugoslavia, you had people with different religions, right? And so in Germany, we were a very small community. There weren't very many families where we lived. And so we spent a lot of time together because it was kind of like, you know, you've got that little piece of home when you would hang out with with your friends on the weekends or whatever. And because a lot of us had, well, there's like three major religions in the old Yugoslavia, and you have like, you know, Christian, Evangelists. I'm sorry, not Evangelists. You have the, the Catholics, the Muslims, and then you have Roman Orthodox. But what was cool for us as kids is we celebrated everything. So, you know, when we had like our Muslim holidays, everybody would come to our house. And then, you know, when our family friends that were Roman Orthodox, you know, their Christmas and New Year's is 7 days after the Catholics. So we literally would just go like bounce from house to house and just celebrate all these holidays throughout the year. And I loved it. We participated in their little games and stuff. And then, you know, because we were raised in Germany at the time, like in elementary school, actually throughout even high school, there was Bible study in school still. And initially when I started going to school, there was like no outlet for kids, not that I recall at least, no outlet for kids that were non-Christian. So I remember like the teacher asking my mom, you know, what would you like to do with your kids while we, you know, the others are attending. She was like, sign them up for one of the classes. So me and my brother both went to like the Catholic, we both did the Catholic Bible study. And so, you know, I just remember like learning all the songs and the prayers and stuff. And then I actually end up in the like church choir.
Any excuse to sing. Okay.
Yeah. So I was in a church choir and stuff. And people are like, aren't you Muslim? I'm like, yeah, but so, you know. But I
so just. Did you celebrate on January 7th then, instead of traditional Christmas?
With our Roman Orthodox friends, yes. And then with our Catholic friends, we celebrated, you know, December 24th, actually. They do, you know, and in Germany, like most Germans, they celebrate on on December 24th also. But we really don't have that holiday. We celebrate only, we only have two holidays, and that's after the Ramadan. You know, there's two Ramadans within a year. And so we have those. And then for like Bosnia, New Year's Eve is a big thing. So that's where people would get like little gifts and stuff. But then my mom would like buy this little Christmas tree, because we would start talking about you know, a friend celebrating Christmas, and she felt bad for us. So then she would get like a small tree, and then, you know, we were really excited, and we would like buy little gifts for her, and then she started buying gifts for us. And you know, now I have like two trees and all this decoration and stuff. And my mom was like, darn, Vanessa, you're like taking this like to a new level.
I'm like, listen, if you're gonna choose one, I think you should have gone with Hanukkah. You get 8 nights of presents instead of one.
Well, I just love like the traditions themselves, you know. Yeah. I'm not a big, you know, I'm not very like I'm not super religious, you know. I just love the tradition part, like making those memories like you mentioned. Yeah. And so that's why I embrace some of those holidays still. But of course, you know, I'm not a Christian, but I just wish there were more people like us, basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. It's interesting. So my mom's side of the family was like Greek, Carpatho-Russian Orthodox. And so they always celebrated on January 7th. And like my grandfather on that side was a priest. And so we would go, and some of the church sermons or whatever would be in like, some would be in Russian or Slovak, mm-hmm. or, you know, Hungarian. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, I don't even understand, like stand up, sit down. Like it just, that's where, you know, grandma and grandpa were. So we got drunk at that. And then on my dad's side, they were like good old Southern non-denominational Church of Christ. And like my grandfather was an elder and my dad was a deacon. And then I came out of it and I was like, nope, don't want any of that. But then as I get older, I'm like, maybe I should be Jewish. Like I'm super into the Jewish thing. Like they seem to have a good head on their shoulders. And I find like their reasoning of like why they do the things that they do very interesting. And so that's why I've been kind of learning a little bit about it. And also like, I think it's cool that it's a whole culture of like a food. Like I don't have any cool traditions, like, or any, I don't know, like, what culture is white, right? Like, what is that? Like, I've got Southern hillbilly where, like, I guess we're going to play bluegrass and not wear some shoes, and that's cool, but, like, other than Southern fried chicken, like, we don't have, like, that ethnic, like, culture and flavor, yeah. And I just think that it's so cool to, like, learn about that kind of stuff because I don't have it, you know? I mean, we don't have a lot of that was like passed down. Like they've got like Southern like cornbread. I mean, I've got a family cornbread and potato salad recipe, but like that's, it's not as cool of a story as everything else. So I just find it so interesting to like learn more about that, even though we don't practice anything in this house other than like be kind to one another, like do the right thing.
Right.
You know, but other than that, we don't really have anything. And so I just think it's really interesting to learn more. And then when we do have friends in our circle, like I think we've got a pretty good diverse circle around us. So we can celebrate their traditions and their happiness with them, you know, in a respectful way. And I think that that's really cool. I just found a friend that's going to come over with some traditional Nepalese food because Dashera, I think, falls on the same day as Diwali this year. So we're going to have like a Indian/Nepalese dinner together for that. And I'm so excited about it. Like learn more. It's going to be fun. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm actually, I don't know if you've seen, but I've been, you know, cooking for a long time too. Mm-hmm. And I started like my cooking Instagram page or whatever. And so, you know, since I've had a lot more time on my hands recently than I usually do, I actually started working on a cookbook. That I am going to somewhere down the line like publish, and it's going to be about, you know, European like food that, you know, I've grown up to cook and stuff. Yeah.
I'm going to need to get some recipes from you. So
yeah, definitely. I have so many. I did not even realize how much stuff I have. I started writing recipes or like I kind of like, you know, getting them from different family members and stuff like that when I was probably 9 or 10 years old. And I have this old book that I've have it to this day. And I have this old book where I've been like making notes of recipes and stuff. Yeah. So I'm kind of taking like the most traditional ones, and I'm converting that.
Have you seen either the Netflix documentary or read the cookbook Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat?
Mm-mm.
Ooh, you need to check this one out. She has changed the game for me in cooking. It's basically like most of the time you get a cookbook and it will give you like recipes and there might be a couple little like story blurbs in that
Yeah.
like telling, you know, what's going on. Hers is more or less how to cook with those four elements. So salt, fat, acid, and heat. And if you can master those four elements, you don't need a recipe. You can just understand how the flavors and foods work together and how to like make a balanced meal. And I'm semi-obsessed with her. So you need to check out this like quick documentary. It's four episodes and then
Oh yeah, I will
the
definitely
game.
check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely I honestly don't use the recipes. I just
Oh,
go
see,
by
I had to
feel
learn that.
and you know, and so and that's kind of the it's kind of really hard because even like teaching my girls, I'm like, I weigh things in my hand, like I
Oh,
go
yeah.
by how it feels. I'm like, I don't know how much that is. So
Yeah.
this recipe book is actually
Okay,
going
they
to
need to
be
watch
very
this documentary then, and then
yeah.
they'll understand how you're cooking.
I'm like, this recipe book is gonna be very interesting because it's gonna be like, hold it in your hand for 5 seconds, and if it no, I'm joking.
Like just shake it and it'll be fine. No, I'm with your girls. I did not learn to cook until I was 27. 27. And I literally called my sister-in-law and I was like, "How do you make Rice Krispies?" The guy I'm seeing wants Rice Krispies. And she was like, "Nicole, three-year-olds do it in the commercials. Like, why can't you figure this out?" And then we literally, and this was before iPhone, so I literally would like Skype her, like what we're doing. And then she'd be like, okay, keep stirring. And I'd be like, does this look right? And I would like hold my laptop over like the pot of Rice
Oh
so she
my
could see it in the camera. And so she eventually got me like some real basic cookbooks. And then she would send me a grocery list on like Thursday, and she'd be like, here's all the things you need to buy. And then on Sunday, whatever she was making for my brother, then we would like cook together over Skype. So she'd be like, chop the potatoes, they should look like this. Like, and we would literally Skype a Sunday meal together. And now she laughs and she's like, you're doing all the cooking. Like, she's like, you take the spread, I'm doing it all now.
I cannot believe that, Nicole.
Yeah,
I
no, I
cannot believe.
literally
Wow.
27 and I could not make Rice Krispie treats. And now I'm like,
I honestly think you probably like, I don't know. Have I maybe had dinner at your house once since I've met you? I don't know that, you didn't stay in South Carolina very long. So maybe once, but I honestly just based on what I've been seeing, I would consider you to be one of like the probably the better cooks that I know.
yeah,
So,
I've come a long way. I've come a
wow,
very long
a
way.
very long way. Yeah, that's what I
Yeah.
would say. Yeah.
Yeah. I
Yeah,
mean,
that's
it's
awesome.
been, well, it'll be 10 years. But yeah, I mean, in the beginning it was rough. And then like I'll see some of those time hops and it'll be like the first time I ever made cupcakes and now I'd be so embarrassed to post that. I'd be like, Arcadio made these. Like they look so awful, but I was so proud because I was just like, they're not burned, it's fine. Now I'm like over here, like trying to low key plan my friend's wedding, and I'm like, I'm gonna do your whole dessert bar. I've got a whole sketch planned, and she's like, okay, let's get the ring on my finger first. Like, just wait a second. I'm like, well, if you could do it soon, because I really have a great Christmas theme. So interesting.
I think that's so awesome. So, have you considered like taking that to the next level at some point?
I had maybe a little, but a lot of people have brought that up to me. They're like, oh my gosh, you should open up a shop. And I just feel like it's so hard because, one, I don't want to be that person that's like trying to sell you something on Facebook or like, I don't know, it's just so interesting. And I don't know that it's something that I would want to do if it was my full-time job. Like, I think that might take some of the joy from
Oh,
me.
yeah.
And if I did it full time and it was really work instead of like play and like this is what I do for fun to like make people feel special, then I think it would lose its edge for me. And I like where I'm at and I don't know, for as much as I like being the boss, I don't know that I want the hassle and the stress that comes with it. Like it's so hard. Like I admire you so much for going out on your own, because like in my head I'm thinking like, okay, well then what would I do for insurance, and what would I you know, I don't know, expanding and liability, and it's all on your shoulders. And I feel really confident in my ability to climb the corporate ladder and let some of those higher up decisions like be somebody else's problem, because at the end of the day, like, it's a job. And if something happens, I'm good at what I do. I'm good at selling myself, and I could go get a job and be fine. Like, I just, I don't know. I think it would ruin it for me. And I don't know that I would be that good at it. Like,
well, I think, scale, yeah. Like, yeah. And that's okay, Nicole. You know, it's okay to feel that way. And if, you know, if that's just like, it's your hobby and it's something that you're just really passionate about doing for your family and friends, then, you know, it's okay for, you know, that it's just that.
Yeah. I just
thought I'd ask. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, maybe like if I was retired, maybe, and that's just what I did on the side, but I definitely wouldn't want that to be like the hustle that I have to do.
Yeah.
My head, because then I think I'd hate it and I'd ruin it. And then I'd like, I don't know, even on days where I like know I have a heavy baking day ahead of me, I'll spend all day in the kitchen baking stuff and I'll be like, great, but we're ordering pizza because I'm done. I'm tapped.
Yeah. And like, your family's going to be like, go back to corporate.
Right. Like, yeah.
All those meals.
Yeah. There's not a single family member's birthday cake that I'm going to care about. Like, I'm just going to be like, I'm sorry. But for now, I can at least be like the cool mom that like hosts an Octonauts theme party with like themed snacks. And everyone's like, really? You're that extra? And I'm like, it's more for me than him, but sure.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think he's definitely going to appreciate that as he, you know, looks back and sees that. And I think that, you know, you just are definitely adding to just people, just, I guess, having memories about you as well, you know. Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Keep up the great work.
Thanks. Now I'm going to get you back in Texas. And have you a much better dinner now.
Yeah, I definitely, you know, I just wish this whole season, I call it, would be over. So that we can kind of get back to some normal, you know, I don't know if normal is normal anymore or what the new normal is. But, you know, I'm like, I miss just everything. Yeah, pre-COVID. Everything pre-COVID, I miss so much. And, you know, I love just getting in the car and just traveling driving somewhere. So I really can't wait until I'm able to do that again, and I will come visit you. Yeah. Okay. So tell me, you know, your son is still very young, but how do you make sure he is exposed to diversity outside of your home? So you mentioned his name and, you know, he has some diversity, you know, within his home, but how do you expose him outside of your home?
So definitely our friend group is intentional. Like we, I think, do a very good job of seeking the diversity out. Like, you know, sometimes we'll joke, and if like we meet a new couple, we'll be like, so just like a heterosexual white couple, like, is that really what we want? Like, you know, kind of, I don't know. And so, you know, like, we're just very open about it. And I think a little bit of us are kind of like poking the bear a little bit. Like, we'll be like, I don't know if we have enough like lesbians in our group to really like upset our parents, you know, like have to like seek this out. So, so we definitely seek that out. We were also very intentional in his school that we chose. So he goes to a school that's run by this, like the most lovely Iranian family. So he has exposure to, you know, the hijabs in the schools and the headscarves and all of that. And like, they are really good about celebrating a lot of multicultural holidays because they have a strong Muslim group. There's actually a couple from like Morocco that are there. We've got some Hispanic teachers that are there, like his current teacher now, Ms. Jessica, we love her. And so they do a really good job, and it's on their curriculum that they do that at a Montessori school. So that is really great that like he sees that in his classroom. And then even just in our, you know, social circle, like because we are extroverts, like our kid hasn't really slowed, I mean, COVID slowed us down, but our kid didn't slow us down when it comes to that.
Yeah,
you know, we laugh because we, you know, have extra bedrooms and we're always like just trying to figure out like who's gonna come and spend the weekend with us. Like, I don't know, like, it's really awkward when it's just me and Alex. And I think we were like joking, like, okay, we have to have a kid because like it's weird for it to just be us too. Like, we want you to come and like have our bedrooms and stay and like let me cook for you and then like plan a breakfast spread and we'll watch movies and play Mario Party. And my kid just runs around and like it's second nature to him. So like he gets that exposure too of like when we're playing games and, you know, if we're having people over on a Friday night and it's bedtime, like he goes to bed and the rest of us stay up and keep interacting. And I think it's nice to have him just be a part of our normal life. Like things didn't screech to a halt when we had him, except for then COVID happened and that screeched to a halt. But even then, like we still kind of had our pod and we'd be like, okay, well, mm-hmm. how many nights are you staying this week? Like, please don't leave us alone. Like, we need other people. We're very extroverted and I just want to have everybody over.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I don't know very well. Of course, I know a lot of people here from when I used to live here, but we don't have very many people like in the area that we're in. We live like, you know, kind of like on the outskirts of Atlanta. So we don't get too many visitors, but I definitely miss that too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I just want to have a night.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not like you. I don't have to have it all the time. I actually prefer like, you know, just like peace and quiet, but I do miss gatherings and just getting, you know, getting around people in general, just going to different events and stuff. Yeah. Definitely.
That's to say, it's not that I'm always like that. The best thing that came out of COVID is Marriott switched to a 40-hour work week instead of a 50-hour work week. So there is a sweet spot that if I can get out of my hotel by like 3:15, 3:30, I can get home and I have an hour, sometimes an hour and 15 minutes a day where I can not be a wife, not be a mom, not be an employee. Like that is my time. And if something happens and I'm like stuck and like for whatever reason I have to do something during that time before I like have to pick up my kid at school or my husband comes home, like I'm cranky. I'm like, oh, I didn't get my hour today. But like that space for me,
that's pretty just, cool.
Yeah, that has been really, really helpful. Like my mental health, like I got into podcasting and I started working out and like sometimes mm-hmm. that's just like painting my toenails and watching trash TV. Like it just whatever
yeah.
my soul needs during that hour. Like that's my time that I get. And I think that has definitely contributed to us having such a good relationship even in COVID. Because I know that that has been trying for like a lot of couples and families of just being mm-hmm. stuck together for so long. And with both of us working and him in school the whole time and that extra time, like we're very lucky. We got through this pandemic really kind of easily. Like it should be embarrassing that I'm like, yeah, we're fine.
So, yeah. Yeah.
But that was a big deal.
That's pretty awesome that they, you know, have reduced those hours. Mm-hmm. Well, not that everybody was working 50 hours a week. I know I was. No, but I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So based on your own opinion, tell our listeners what needs to change to remove the division of people in general.
Oof.
I know that's a tough one.
It is. I mean, I think it's got to start at home. I definitely mm-hmm. think that kids see and mimic what they, you know, they mimic.
See.
They see and they say mm-hmm. what they see.
Yes.
And I think that comes from home. And I think that like the best thing to do is to just get out of your comfort zone and really find those relationships, like figure out how to befriend the person that doesn't look like you or doesn't sound like you or doesn't act like you. And I think a lot of that at home, and I'm hoping, I think that the generation, like I keep saying on the social media is like, I think the kids are going to be all right. Like mm-hmm. There's definitely some powerful changes that are coming that I see in the generations you know, and I think our generation did a really good job of raising the next one to at least question a little bit. And that's, you know, I think something that's helpful. And it's interesting that that is such a generational thing. Like, I kind of have this conversation with my husband and my mother-in-law because he was taught that whatever the adult says in the room, that's it. You respect the adult room and that's no questions about it. And I was like, that doesn't bode well for me. Like, that's where shameful things happen. That's why you have, you know, kids getting molested and like things, is because we don't push back on the things that don't feel right. And we didn't question the adults when they said, you don't speak about this. You know what I mean? I just think that that's like a dangerous thing. And so having that mentality where our kids do question authority, like, I think it's healthy a bit. I mean, I questioned authority and I pushed boundaries, but nothing that was super detrimental, because they allowed me to do that in a healthy amount. And I want that for my kid. And I think that those generations are becoming more and more prevalent. And that gives me a lot of hope that they're going to put pressure on the outgoing generations and the decision makers at the top.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, I always say, you know, I always share with other people how much I love the global mindset that this new generation has. It's not about, you know, and social media has enabled that too, but it's not, you know, they are learning so much about different countries, even about history. You know, there's a lot of research being done, and as much as, like, you know, TikTok is frowned upon, my girls will tell me stuff that they've seen on there that they literally are giving like history lessons on there. And they'll be like, you know, did you know, mommy, that there was a, so there was like a female pirate leader that was on the Pacific coast. Mia was telling me that today, and she learned that on TikTok. I'm like, wow, I had no idea. But it's just, you know, she was like, you know, they didn't teach us that in school. And, but that's like reality, right?
Yeah.
They only taught so much, and they basically teach you what they feel is important, right?
Yeah.
And, but it's up to you to do your research and learn more. So with them having access to the internet and social media, they actually, it's easier for them to even question, you know, things.
Right.
Like,
well,
yeah.
I mean, how you're saying, like, they're learning this stuff on TikTok, their access to a world of people that don't look like them, because,
right,
you know, it's in the user's hand. I mean, I'm laughing at, like, you're like, oh, my kid taught me something from TikTok. I'm like, my kid's watching Brain Candy. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know this about this planet. You know, and I'm like, I mean, yes, of course I did. You know, all this stuff in here. But, like, even in, like, the kids' shows, now there's all the diversity of colors, and, like, the fact that Crayola has an entire, like, line that's just called Skin, and it's all the different tones and shades. Like, I just think that that exposure, just walking through Tom Thumb or HEB, is going to, like, give you that exposure to different thoughts. And I just think that there, you can't really go back. Like, you can't, you know, Pandora's box is open. And I think that diversity is out there. And even just in the cartoons that you're seeing at two, you know, 2 years old, the diversity that's on there is great. And I'm just
loving it. Yeah.
Yeah. We've come such a long way. And I think our generation did a good job of questioning the authority and then putting people in higher positions to help make those changes down the line. Like, my kid's never going to understand that there was a time where there were only white people on TV. He's going to be like, I don't even understand that. That's going to seem so far removed for him, but for everybody else, it was like shocking, you know? So we've definitely come a long way to that exposure. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to see what, you know, what my kid's generation, you know, from a boundary
same
perspective,
here.
You know, and same then I talk with my sister-in-law a lot, like, what do you think the thing is that they're going to say we messed up, right? Because all of our, like, our generation looks at the boomers and is like, well, this is where you guys messed up. And they looked at their parents and this is what they thought was wrong and that they had to change. Like, and it's a natural thing. So, like, what's the thing that they're going to say that we messed up? Like, what do you think they're going to say that, like, yes, everything was, like, super strict and super racist and super, like, Republican, and the pendulum swung too far left? Like, did we go too far on the left and now we have to, like, land somewhere in the middle? Like, I just wonder, like,
we did not social distance. That's what they're gonna say. You guys did not social distance and wear your masks. Like, and that's why the pandemic. Yeah. I think that's going to be definitely one of those.
That my kid's going to go to therapy for. I wonder this all the time. Like, what's the thing I'm going to mess him up about?
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting.
I have to think of that. What it could have been. Right, like, or, you know,
Mia going to therapy
in the past. Yeah, but definitely, you know, we never know what else is going to happen in the future.
I think about it.
But you can just see how everything is evolving. Like, you know, just seeing how technology has advanced and the things that are being implemented. You know, we used to watch those things on TV and movies and stuff, and now they're becoming reality.
I mean, look at what we're doing right here. That's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Oh,
we
yeah,
never
I know.
Would have thought in South Carolina that we'd be doing this. Like,
no, crazy. No, not at all. Yeah. I'm here for it. Hey,
me too.
You know, I love change. I love change and I love new things. So, I'm excited, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. I just want to get this whole pandemic behind us, you know, whatever it is that we're going to end up having to live with. You know, I just want to get that behind us so that we can get to a normalcy, whatever that may be.
Right.
You know, so we can be around people again. Because my biggest concern, I would say, is that people are not, you know, maybe not in your case, but just from what I'm seeing is that people are getting comfortable. Yeah. With no social life or living in a bubble and away from other people. And so one of the things that I do that I am concerned about is the social engagement piece for my children. So I see my teenagers almost acting, you know, like socially awkward, I would say, you know, if it's something like texting or TikToking or whatever they're doing, they're really great at that. But having one-on-one conversations, like I remember taking my daughter for an interview and for her like first job, and she was like freaking out that she had to like have a conversation with a person. I'm like, just be yourself. You know, you've never worked before, so you have nothing really to tell her, but, you know, talk about yourself and the things maybe that you've, you know, helped me volunteer with in the past. Like, you've got no real interview here, you know?
Yeah.
So, she was really nervous.
The social and reading, like, how to read body cues and sense the room, you know? That's a real concern.
Yeah. So I'm definitely trying to teach them, and I kind of purposely put them in situations that will kind of, you know, they're basically being challenged to interact with people. Like I kind of sort of forced the whole candle thing on them so that they have to interact with people. First of all, they're doing something outside of being on their phones 24/7. So they're actually creating something. And then they learned to love it and like try different, you know, scents and everything. And then from there, I took them with me to like vendor shows, and then I made them sell the product.
Yeah. So but that's was, a like, great really- skill though.
Yeah. So that was really interesting to watch. So I've learned that Mia is the outgoing one, and she's like the great.
Oh, I could have told you that.
Yeah, she was like with her clipboard. Somebody said she looked like me, you know, at work. She had her clipboard and her pen, and she was going around, and she's like, "You need a candle." Like, she even like went to other vendors' tables and was like pulling people over to our table. I'm like, don't do that. You cannot do that. You need to wait until they're finished there, you know? And then Maya was like the analyzer, like, this is gonna cost this much. She's like the financial group. She was doing the inventory and the profit, and she's like, you know, no discounts. She's so funny. I'm like, just give her that thing for free. No, we're gonna charge them for that. I'm like, okay, just do whatever you want. It's really interesting. Yeah. Because I don't want them to be socially awkward. You know, it makes me sad because having conversations with people are good for your soul and your well-being and everything. And I don't want them to be completely hooked, you know, to their phones or just, you know, devices.
That's a real thing. Yeah. That's a real thing.
Yeah. So I think in the future, it's like, you know, as technology advances, how do you normalize your child, normalize or whatever that may be, you know, how do you, and I think that you also do a really good job of that because you've got a pool and all these outdoor toys. I think your son has like a ball, you know, he's just having like a really amazing childhood.
We are very lucky and we are very spoiled, but a lot of the things that he has come from his older nephew. And like he gets presents from grandparents and all of that. But yeah, a lot of that we have not thankfully had to pay for. They just get gifted to him. And then we, in a spirit of karma, gift a lot back to the school, you know, at the Montessori for them to play with and kind of keep that going. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's kind of nice. But yeah, he's a little spoiled, but don't worry. He gets time out a lot. There's a very this house.
Oh my God, I love it. Your stories are always so funny because you typically, that's where you post about just different
like my Instagram things. Is so funny because my actual page where I post like here are all the meals that I've plated and the things that I'm cooking is like so calculated and like I will laugh because I'll be taking a picture and I'll be like, do not put that in the background for my Instagram. Like I want it to be, I really just want Martha Stewart to like it, right? I've had Betty Crocker. And I've had a couple of like things on there. I've like had Food Network like some stuff, but like, so it's very like curated on the page. But then you get to my stories and it's a hot mess. Like that's where real life lives. And that's like me putting my kid in timeout and then feeling guilty because he just did it because he saw me do it. So then I'm in timeout. Like, it's, you know, this is mom like had a little bit to drink and she's out stalking a boy band because like I can't stop stalking boy bands and like that's where we really live. But like the page itself is just very beautiful and like very particular. And like I will tell my husband, I'm like, I'm gonna plate dinner, but you can only eat the ugly one. The other one I have to photograph
first.
I do
that
too.
And he's like,
okay.
I do that too. Yeah. I'm like, no,
I will plate both and whichever one looks better, that is the one that, you know, I will photograph.
Yeah.
And then the stories are just like he's throwing shit at the walls and like screaming and having a tantrum. So it's fine.
So I want everybody that's listening or watching this episode to tag Martha Stewart. I am going to tag her too into this. And I hope that this gets you.
I just need a like something.
Is your page open?
And it is.
Can anybody? Okay. All right, Martha Stewart, if you hear this, please go to Nicole. Nicole, what is your Instagram name?
It's Go Choli. So it's a kind of a homage to one of my favorite bands. So it's G-O-C-H-O-L-E. That's my family name is Choli.
If my podcast blows up, I need everybody to tag Martha Stewart. And as a matter of fact, I've been getting a lot of viewers because we typically shoot like when it's live we shoot it in 4K and 4K gets like a higher it has like I guess YouTube
like bumps it,
pushes it more, yeah, because it's like high quality, right? And that's how I've been getting a lot of views on YouTube. Like I've averaged out I think the first two actual episodes I had over 3,500 views on each, and that's really high for, you know, a new podcast.
That just made me nervous all over again.
Ah, no, we're almost at the end, Nicole. It's too late. Yeah, right? But yeah. So definitely, there's going to be a lot of views. I wish that people would actually watch the whole episode because I can see like the analytics, and sometimes they only watch like, you know, a little bit of it, but I'm going to make sure I have Martha Stewart all over this episode so that if you blow up, she sees this and she gives you
like a pity like on
whatever, a comment. All right. I mean,
she is goals in every aspect. So,
well, maybe, you know, maybe I'm lucky enough to have on my show one day, and then I'm gonna call you.
Oh my gosh. We can go to brunch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're gonna fly you in, Nicole. I'm gonna set it in. I'm gonna like.
I know you're gonna make it big. Stuff. I still have the framed photograph and your autograph.
Oh, no way.
It's still in my office. I have taken it with me to every office that I've had since I left you. Oh, so you're still in my office with your autograph and your signed photo from when you were making
it. That was like so cocky. Doesn't it have like a queen crown or something?
Yeah, it does. Oh, I will send you a picture when I'm in my office tomorrow.
OMG. You know, I just, you know, whatever I've learned, and that's what I've been telling people, whatever I've learned over the years, you know, in the hospitality industry, I'm literally applying to everything that I'm doing now. And that's why everything is so organized. Like, mm-hmm. I prepare with my questions, you know, I've got my shirt here, you know, I make sure that I, you know, the whole set, I mean, Jamel really helped me with the set, but everything is where it needs to be. And so everything is like, it's like a cookie cutter thing, you know, and that's how I work my consulting business too. And, you know, people are like, oh, I didn't know you can do these things. I'm like, yeah, I've been doing this for years, just for corporation, you know? So yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Maria.
Right.
Yeah. So let's see. We're talking about careers and such. So, you know, that, of course, being a career mom comes with many challenges or some challenges. Tell me how you keep yourself on task and organized while maintaining a work-life balance.
I schedule everything down to the fun. Like, you're like, I'm not even joking. I am a list person. I want to like color code my whole life. I'm a little like borderline OCD in that way. But I have a calendar. Like, we have a 4-month calendar on our fridge, and then I have my personal one for work, but I schedule everything that I possibly have to do, like, gets in Outlook task or a calendar invite that everything syncs to. I mean, like, literally to the point where, like, somebody was joking around about a tetanus shot, and I was like, oh, no, I don't need to get that until April 24th, 2025. And they were like, how on earth do you know this? I'm like, oh, I have a calendar appointment. Like, everything that I need, like a 10-year shot, is in there. I'm not the only one. I have friends that do this too. But I mean, anything that we need on the calendar, like today, like I'm doing this with you, I literally put it on our calendar, but then I also put it on my husband's Outlook calendar. I was like, remember, you're on dad duty tonight because I'm going to be out doing this. So anytime that I have that, like my boy band concerts, or we're going like going to brunch with my sister-in-law and our friend Julia, like we immediately were like, okay, I got to put this on the calendar and block time off. And that's how I make my balance happen. And like, I schedule and plan the stuff in advance. Like I have to, it's the only way I survive. And my memory won't happen if I don't write it down. And I tell my staff even that too. I'm like, if you do not see me write it down right now, is not going to happen. And so, like, I was even talking to guys during our brunch this last weekend, and they were talking about a movie that I should add to like my Halloween watch list. And I look over to my husband, I was like, remind me about that. And he goes, okay. And sent me an email to my work email, so I would go through it and like add it to my calendar right then and there of like, this. Like, he just knows me that well.
Yeah.
Like, send me an email. Do not trust me to just remember. Won't happen.
Yeah, I always tell people, I used to always tell people, you know, when they would walk in my office, you know, because I mean, as a hotel manager, you get a million things thrown at you at once.
Absolutely.
And you really don't, you will forget something if you don't write it down or you put it in Outlook. So even myself now to this day, I still use Outlook to the fullest. I don't know if you remember that I used to like do like the weekly, the daily, and everything was like in a calendar appointment.
I do it too.
And then I always send it to, you know, the AGMs and the ops managers and then the supervisors, whoever needs to work on those tasks. I have it in there, and it's a reminder for them. It's a reminder for me. And it's just something I have to, you know, it's just it keeps you on task.
I do and, the you same know, thing. Everything's a task or a reoccurring appointment or everything.
Yep. I took a class right before COVID in Cali through Marriott, and it was
Danny Bader.
No.
The Outlook guy.
Oh, is that his name?
Yeah, I'm Facebook friends
with
him.
What is it called?
Shameless. I adore him.
Oh my God. What is the class called? Look, is it like organized?
Yeah.
My life or something?
He's got some books. I don't know if there was like a name for his, but it was like Mastering Outlook and like how to set up tasks.
Yes. I loved it.
Oh my gosh. I live my life by this.
And honestly, you know, I don't unfortunately have access to that anymore, but I want to read that email that I wrote myself that day.
Oh, your resolution. Yeah.
Yes. Because I think I'm living like at least 50% of that now.
Yeah.
I need to see if I can find it.
I didn't do the email because I was the only person in class that already had resolutions. And he was like, you're the first person that's ever actually had them. And I have like a template and I fill them out. And I already have I should have said 5 months ago, I'd already started my 2022 resolutions. Like if there's something that I'm like, oh, I should read this book. Like I'm like obsessed with some podcasts as well and about like growing and learning. And so anytime there's something I want to like learn, I send myself an email and I already have like a very full, like 28 or 30 resolutions for next year already. And I am lucky that I'm ahead on some of mine for this year. So I've already pulled two books that were on my resolution list for next year. And I already like am working through those.
Oh, wow.
But I list everything. And it's, you're going to laugh, like my template for my resolutions, it's got like finances, relationships, work, the family and home, health, and then one of them, it literally says fun. Like, make a resolution to have fun. Like, what is something that you want to do? And so for me, I really, really, really wanted to go to a boy band concert, and I really wanted to go to a particular water park that I hadn't been to in a few years. And I put them down there, and I was like, no, come hell or high water. Like, I'm going to do these things. I deserve to have fun. It doesn't all have to be work. And, you know, go to the dentist, which is a resolution that I had to make because it had been a couple years and it's not my favorite thing, but I put it on the list. So dang it, I went. So, yeah.
I think that, you know, writing things down really puts it in perspective. And then that's why I loved his thing, because he had like a set a reminder for every Friday. And then every Friday, I would not read the email I sent to myself, right? I would not read it every Friday. I had no time to, but it was like a reminder, like, you know, like a mental note.
Like,
oh,
what
that
are you
email.
Because
I know what I asked for from myself or what I wanted, right? And so, yeah, I need to see if I have a copy of it, because I think it would be very interesting to read that. I only know one thing. I remember only one thing out of that whole email. It was like a long email that I wrote. It was a long email that I wrote to myself. I know one thing in particular that I really was trying to work on, and I did accomplish that. But I'm curious to see what else I have, and I believe it's a lot. So
I'll send you my template. You'd probably really like my resolution template too.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, because you know, especially now that I am, you know, self-employed, I have to keep myself on task. And so, you know, my outlook looks just like it did when I was with corporate America. I put everything in there and I love it, actually. I get my reminders still to my phone and I set them, you know, on time. I've got all my doctor's appointments in there for me and the kids. I love it.
Me too.
And now I've started actually emailing those calendar appointments to Jamel too, because he would say, I didn't remember we were doing that, you know. So he said that a couple times. I was like, no worries, I'm gonna start adding you to my Outlook calendar. So then I was like, did you see the calendar appointment I sent you? He was like, I don't know how to access that. I'm like, just go to your calendar. You know, I'm like, say no more. Fill your calendar. I like living that. I like to live an organized life, and I think that it makes you more successful too, right?
Absolutely.
It makes you achieve more goals, and it gives you that accomplished feeling too, and your life is more organized.
Yeah.
So, Nicole, I have one last question for you. Tell me who inspires you and why.
Ooh, okay. I know the easy answer would be Martha Stewart. I just want to have her life. But if I'm being honest, I'll let you tag another celebrity. But I just admire the heck out of Dax Shepard. And I know most people are probably like into his wife, and she's lovely. But what I love about him, and I stumbled upon him in a show that I loved called Parenthood. And when I found out he was doing a podcast, it's called Armchair Expert. And what I love about it is that he is just endlessly curious. And I relate to that so much. Like I cannot gobble up his podcasts and a couple other ones like Mayim Bialik or Glennon Doyle. And like, I learn so much, especially from Armchair Expert, like of people in different fields or like studying or different professions and things that I just would never have sought out on my own. And so him bringing it into me has taught me so much. And so many of my resolutions have come from the guests that he has on his show and just about, you know, different cultures or different books that they're writing or theories or just, I don't know, different concepts in the world. And I find myself, the older I get, see just endlessly curious and wanting to grow and learn about anything that I can and just different perspectives. And so that has given me like the most consuming list of like content to digest. And I love it. And I enjoy that I can have conversations. You know, we talked a lot about like having that social action, you know, interaction with your kids.
Yeah.
And sure that they can have those conversations. And I always feel like there's always something new and interesting for me to discuss with my husband or my friends or, you know, my best friend is another GM. And it's so funny because him and I talk like literally anytime we're at work and there's not like a call or something that we have to actively be in, like he's just up on my screen at all times. And sometimes we're talking about work stuff and other times it's like, what's our favorite pasta shape or a new documentary that we were watching or a new book that we were listening to or a podcast or something. And I just, I love that I have a friend that keeps me so intellectually stimulated and that we can have these great conversations with. And it's not just like, what's the latest Kardashian episode you watched?
Yeah.
You know, like it's very stimulating and I find myself challenged and like, we laugh because there are times where we'll have a whole conversation and be like, well, I guess after 15 minutes of debate, one of us can Google it because we know that the answers are at our fingertips, but like, we like the art of conversation and to have like the little mini debates and like, maybe we work through the logic, like, oh, this actor and what was his name? And you go through a whole list of like, he was in this show and then he did this part. And like, yeah, we could just Google it the first 5 seconds, but like, to just go down that banter of conversations is really interesting. And so I like that we can do that. And Armchair Expert gives me so much great content and like they've got a couple of spinoffs. So I just, anything under that entire umbrella, like they had a parenting one and they have a super awesome, We Are Supported by Feminism podcast with his wife and the other co-host of Armchair. And so it just always keeps me learning something new. And I also love that, like, if he's wrong, he's really good at, like, owning his own crap. Like, when he's wrong, he's like, okay, fine, I was wrong. You know, I still believe, you know, in his reason for saying what he does or whatever, but I like that he challenges things, and I think he's got, like, a really good, healthy dose of, like, reality and curiosity, and I find that so inspiring. Like, I hope I never lose that, and I always just continuously want to learn and grow and do and not be just satisfied and boring, I guess.
I don't think you're boring at all. And I don't think you'll ever be boring, Nicole.
Doubtful.
As long as I've known you. Yeah. As long as I've known you. You know, one of my like fondest, I mean, we've had so many laughs together through, you know, when we work together, but one of the, my like, just, I always laugh my butt off when I think of it. And you may already know what I'm going to say.
Insanity.
Oh, you may not. Is when you told me how you came into work one day and somebody that we worked with was like, Nicole, I know that you've been off for the last 2 days, but I'm going to ask you anyway, do you know where the scissors went or something like that? Do you remember? And sometimes literally I'm just like it's so crazy because like randomly I will just look at scissors, a pair of scissors, or you know, and I would be at work at other hotels, and I would just like randomly think of that and laugh because you're like, I do not know where this is. Like, I know you've been gone for the last 2 days, but do you know where the scissors are?
Like, I was like, oh, I should just go back home.
Yeah, yeah. And that was like, I think that was your greeting, right? When you walked in the door.
I thought you were going to say when we were doing those insane workouts.
Oh, Insanity. That was fun too.
And me puking. Insanity was fun too.
Yeah, and the girls were like swinging their legs up on the couch, oh, like they were so flexible.
We're like dying, can't breathe, puffing. You
know, and
they're just like running laps around us. I'm like, I hate you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was funny. That was fun. Yeah, yeah. In our downtown, we went like bar hopping or whatever.
Yeah.
One time. That was fun. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. See you party, Nicole, before Alex put me on lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm on lockdown now, too. It's you know, it's been a great adjustment, though. I'm loving it. I'm loving
good.
It. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. All right. Well, this actually concludes our interview. Do you have anything else to say or add?
Oh, I just love this so much. I'm excited to keep seeing who you've got on. And
thank you.
This is so awesome that you're just doing all of this and just taking on so much. And I just think that's so awesome that you're just grabbing life by the horns and going wherever it is and being such a good example to your kiddos. So
yeah, thank you so much. Thank you, Nicole. Thank you for supporting me. Yes. And I want to make sure that all of our listeners and viewers are following the Benissa's Cafe. Make sure you like, subscribe, and comment. Please comment on this particular episode and tag Martha Stewart. You've got to do this for me. I want to make her wish come true.